ladies and gentlemen, for the first time in the new series, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Do you ever get one of those days when everything goes right? You get a seat on the bus, you put a bob on an outsider, it wins a couple of quid, and even the wife won't let you do the washing up. Well, the last time I had one, it was on a Tuesday in 1928. But, you know, Admiralty, they aren't having a good day today because it's the day the crew of HMS Troutbridge return from leave to their ship, now waiting for them in Portsmouth. And days don't come any worse than that.
Right, now, look here, wait here, Johnson. Wait here and guard Chief Petty Officer Pertwee's Empire-made genuine plastic imitation crocodile suitcase with your life.
Righto, Chief. I'll guard it like a genuine imitation plastic crocodile.
Right, there's a good lad.
Yeah.
There's a certain formality I want to discuss with number one.
Come on.
Come in. Welcome home, sir. About my application for compassionate extension of leave, sir. I don't seem to have received my...
Application dismissed.
Hey, look, you're doing as
bad. Turn. Quick march. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Shut the door. Hold. Carry on.
Well, that little formality didn't take long, did it?
Obviously, a misunderstanding, Call Johnson. A misunderstanding, Call Whitworth.
Yeah.
I'll give him another chance.
Right.
Come in.
Welcome in, sir. About?
About turn. Quick march. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Shut the door. Hold. Bug off.
That was better. You were much quicker that time, Chief. You nearly met yourself coming in, didn't you? Here, do you want to have one more go and try for the record?
No, I do not.
You lop-eared, lumpy load of lard. Sorry, pardon, I'm sure.
Right. And what's happened to my Empire-made genuine imitation plastic crocodile suitcase,
eh? Oh, I've got it all right. I'm sitting on it, Chief. It might have been...
Is it all?
No, it's all right.
Get your pudgy great posterior off my suitcase.
Well, I'm not doing it any... I'm not doing it any... What? Now, I wonder how that happened.
Look at it. Look at it. You've flattened it so much, it looks more like a genuine imitation plastic crocodile wallet.
Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Oh, hello.
Yes.
Had a good leave.
What?
Hmm? Have you seen number one yet, Chief?
Yes, sir, I have. About 3 seconds flat.
Yeah, twice.
I see. Well, don't bother to come to me for your extension of leave, because I'm not granting it either.
It's a conspiracy article, that's what it is. There's my dear old white-haired mother in a little lace shawl. Waiting for her honest tailor boy to come home from the seas again. So he can finish tuning her motorbike for the cross-country trials.
No, Chief,
but she needs me, sir. She needs me. If I'm not there to ride on the pillion, she'll never stop her rear end from bouncing up and down in the mud.
Ooh, nasty. Still, it can't be helped, I'm afraid.
Yeah, when's the race, Chief? I'd like to go and watch your white-haired old motorbike.
You belt up! Your rear end will be bouncing up and down for a month.
It usually is, actually. Well, you can carry on, Chief.
Yeah, it usually does, actually.
That'll do, you crocodile case crusher, you.
I'd better report to number one.
Aye,
right away.
Oh, this is right, this is.
I've got to get some more leave somehow.
Well, if there is any leave flying about in future, you can have mine for a start.
Hello, Taffy.
Did the welcome in the hillside wear a bit thin?
I never got there. I was nobbled on the way. Whipped off the Queen's Highway I was, clean as a...
Come off it, Taffy. Who kidnapped you?
Oh, I wasn't kidnapped exactly. I joined a protest march. And after we'd been going for an hour or two, I had to stay with it because I hadn't the faintest idea where I was or where we were going.
Yeah, where'd you end up then?
John O'Groats. My feet were killing me. Not only that, but it cost me a flaming fortune to get back in time by train. Not surprising when you remember that they're British railways, mind. You wait until we get home rule and then they're Welsh railways. Then you'll see something. We'll get the coal wholesale for a start.
Yeah, all right, all right. Don't think you've come back here for a kip either. There's a nasty rumour going around that we're sailing shortly.
Oh, just so long as we're not marching, I don't mind.
Well, but I don't reckon it'll be for very long. Not if a certain other rumour I heard is correct.
Oh, yeah, right. This one's going to be a corker.
It is, my fat, blotty friend, it is. I don't think number one and Mr. Phillips will want to be away from here too long. Once they've seen her.
Seen her? Seen who?
Well, gents, apart from her, we've got a new bit of feminine pulchritude about.
Come again?
I mean, we've got another wren. And she's a right bit of...
I take it you've seen the lady.
Yeah, I have, mate. Yeah, and toast number one. I heard him telling her what Mr. Phillips looked like.
Go on.
He described Mr. Phillips as a sort of short, ugly Diana Dawes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see what he meant.
Here, I doubt if Mr. Phillips will. So, may the best man win. And as far as I'm concerned, after what happened to Johns' extension of leave, that's neither of the perishers.
Well, Mr. Phillips, I think that takes care of everything, except that, when you're booking films for the ship's cinema, we'd be grateful if we could have a new one.
But I like the one we had before, sir.
Yeah, so we gathered. But if I had to sit through Carry On Noddy just once more, I shall scream.
Oh, very well, sir. Perhaps you prefer Lieutenant Bates to choose the film this time.
No, I would not. Give him his head and the dear old-fashioned thing will have us lumbered with the big broadcast of 1932.
Oh, I saw that on television recently. There was a jolly catchy tune in this, and it went, let me see now, it went, yes, that's my...
That's your lot, Mr. Phillips. Now, if there's nothing else you want to say...
Oh, but there is, sir. Oh, yes. I don't know whether you've heard, sir, but,
Well, Mr. Phillips?
Well, you see, sir. It's only a rumour, actually, but...
Nonny, if you don't carry on in a minute...
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry, pardon, sir. Yes. There's a buzz going around about. There's a roundabout a buzz about.
A rumor.
Oh, thanks, sir. I'm jolly grateful, yes. There's a rumor, sir. There's a wren going around with a big buzz. with a buzz with a buzz, sir.
Actually, I know all about the buzz it is. I knew of it.
You knew of it?
I've seen her.
Seen who, sir?
The new wren.
Oh, so that's what I was trying to say. Yeah, what's she like?
Oh, not your sort. Spots, bandy. I forget all about her.
Spots and bandy? I already have, sir. You make her sound like Jimmy Edwards' grandmother.
Well, there is a certain likeness, I imagine. No, I should stick to taking Heather out.
Don't you worry, sir. I shall.
Come in.
I've got a signal from Captain Posey, sir.
Have you? Well, jolly hard luck. And we get signals from him all the Cool.
That will be all, Mr. Phillips.
Well, no, it won't, sir. I mean, it can't be. Who is this?
The new wren.
Oh, lummy. What's happened to you?
To me, sir?
Yes, where are your bandy spots? I mean, where are the spots your bandy in? Have a spot of brandy.
9 o'clock in the morning, Mr. Phillips.
Oh, yes, I suppose it is a bit late. I'm Sub-Lieutenant Phillips.
I guess that's, sir.
Oh, really? How did you do that?
Well, you're the only one who looks like a short, ugly Diana Dawes.
Yes, I... What?
You said you had a signal from...
No, just a minute. Who told Jimmy Edwards' grandmother I look like a short, ugly Diana Dawes?
Well, Possibly. I may have. Was an unfortunate turn of phrase, perhaps.
I see. It was charming. Now we know where we are, don't we? Hmm?
Oh, I would have known you anyway, sir.
Oh, would you really?
Yes, sir. Heather described you as well.
Oh, I bet that was rich.
It was pretty good.
Well, I jolly well don't want to hear about it. I don't care... did Heather describe Lieutenant Murray by any chance?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, I don't think we need bother about that.
Oh, sir. Yes, we do. I want to know. Now, what did she... How did she describe, number one?
She said he was the one who looked like a tall, ugly dinosaur.
Oh, really? Perhaps we could have the signal.
Certainly, sir. It's for both of you. Signals from Captain Purvey to Lieutenant Murray and Sub-Lieutenant Philip Ditchmouth, Trowbridge, Portsmouth.
Beautiful. Enchanting.
Signal reads, now you've seen the new Wren, send her back to her office. Purvey, Captain.
You know, I don't think I'd like that last bit quite so much, you know.
Well, neither did I. Well, that will be all, Wren.
Wren Cornwall, sir. And if it'll save time... The other name is Judy.
Oh, is it really? Mine's Diana. Dora. No.
Carry on, Wren Cornwall.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, now perhaps we get on. Mr. Phillips, I said now perhaps... Mr. Phillips.
What is it, Lieutenant Murray? Sir?
You sulking?
Certainly not. Sir?
You are, you know.
I'm not. I never sulk. It's just that a chap thinks it's a bit much. When a chap's chum doesn't tell a chap there's a new bit of talent about.
Well, if you'd seen her first, would you have told me?
Of course.
Nonsense.
I would.
You wouldn't.
So now you call me a liar.
I didn't say that.
Oh, yes, you did.
All I said
I was... heard what you said. You said...
Excuse me.
I certainly.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Hello? Number one here?
This is Chief Petty Officer Pertwee's Whitehead Old Mother. When's my sailor boy coming home?
He's not coming home, Chief.
Sorry, wrong number.
Now,
where were we? I've forgotten.
Well, I haven't, sir.
Oh, now, don't stop. Excuse me.
Oh, certainly.
Thank you.
Not at all.
Hello?
This is Chief Petty Officer Pertwee's white-haired old father here. My wife...
No, Chief. Now, look here, Mr. Phillips. You're taking a perfectly ridiculous... Oh, blast. Hello? Will you kindly stop ringing up? I'm trying to have a row.
Then I've got just the person for you to have one with. Captain Purvey wants a word.
What? Good gracious, Heather.
That's right. The one that looks like a slightly flatter Diana Dawes.
Oh, now, look here. I didn't...
Here's Captain Purvey.
No, just a minute.
Number one.
Yes, Diana. I mean, yes, Captain Purvey.
I've got a job for you. That is, if you and that idiot Phillips can stop bickering for a minute.
Oh, certainly, sir.
Now, look here. Apparently on Thursday, it's the first anniversary of Bataniland acquiring home rule.
Hooray.
Thank you. There's a Bataniland frigate at Barrow this week, and you're to sail there tonight and take the ex-governor and his wife up to the celebration.
What? You mean Sir Willoughby and Lady Todd Hunter Brown?
Now, of course.
Oh, couldn't you find somebody else to act as their taxi, sir? The Waldrums only just managed to pay for the gin that disappeared last time they were aboard.
Certainly not. The old dock at Pier 7 on Thursday at 1500. I'm going up to Barrow by train, so I shall be there with the rest of the reception committee to see that you get there.
Well, very good, sir, but why don't you come with us?
Not likely. I want to be sure at least one member of the Royal Navy's there.
Oh, we'll be there, sir.
You'd better be. Goodbye.
I wish you hadn't hung up, Lieutenant Murray, sir.
Why?
Because if that was Captain Povey, I was going to apply for a transfer to another ship.
You're not doing anything of the kind. In your own quaint, weird, and wonderful way, you're going to navigate this one.
Well, I don't see why. After all, a chap has every right to expect a chap's chum to tell a chap that a chap is missing something if a chap hasn't been told by another chap. that he's got the hat. This way, if you please, Sir Willoughby. You and your wife have this cabin here, sir.
Oh, good man. So do come on, Amelia, dear.
I can be. And if you were a gentleman, you'd give me your tiny hands with these crates.
Crates?
The last time we were on this ship, I distinctly remember the wardroom ran out of gin. It was a most disastrous voyage.
Well, you did thump it a bit, you know.
Possibly. But this time I'm not taking any chances. So I've brought some reserves.
Allow me, madam. Let me take these three. Where would you like them sold, eh?
Well, I don't really mind, just so long as they're nice and handy.
You're Lieutenant Bates, aren't you?
Oh, practically all the time, yes, sir. I'm the electrical officer. Yeah.
Oh.
Dollar.
Oh, are you really? My word, it's a small world, isn't it?
Why, sir? Were you an electrical officer?
No, but I was with the gas board at one time.
Remember now, you're the one that invents things.
Well, I try my hand at it sometimes, madam, yes.
That's splendid. Well, I've got just the thing for you to concentrate your abilities on.
Have you, madam?
Yes, it would be an absolute boon to mankind, and I'm sure you are the very man to invent it.
Invent what, madam?
Instant gin.
I say, what a cracking weed.
Yes, I knew you'd see it my way. All we want is a delicious powder that only needs water added to it to become gin.
Don't bother with the instant tonic. She never uses it.
So, we've noticed. That is,
Here I say, this is a bit off, isn't it?
No, really, it's all beautifully matured.
I'm not talking about your crates, my dear. I meant being received by the electric swaller. Oh, no disrespect to you, old man, but Willie is supposed to be the big noise, you know.
Oh, quite, but I should have explained that we're rather up the creek and rather short-handed.
Why, aren't Number One or Mr. Phillips on board?
Oh, yes, sir, but just at the moment they're not speaking to each other.
Oh, law, I know that one.
Quite, sir, I'm sort of filling in.
Well, I'll have a word with Murray and Phillips on the bridge later on.
Very good, sir. I imagine they'd be glad to have someone to talk to by now. Now, let's just have a tiny bit of the old, left hand down a bit.
Left hand down the tawniest bit of teeth, sir.
Do you think so?
I should have thought we needed a shade of the right.
Left hand down, chief.
Aye, aye, Mr. Phillips, sir.
Leslie's the navigator.
Quite.
Now, look here. This is absolute nonsense. Just because I happened to see the girl before
you... Steady at that.
Steady very teeth, Mr. Phillips.
Sir...
Oh, really?
I do hope your dear old white-haired mother is all right, Chief.
I doubt it, sir.
Jolly callous, that.
Really?
Not letting a chap have an extension of leave when his nearest and dearest is...
Mr. Phillips!
Did you hear something, Chief?
I think I may have caught a whisper on the breeze. I'll ask. Mr. Murray, sir, Mr. Phillips says, did you want something?
Yes, I do. Will you tell Mr. Phillips that if he doesn't stop being ridiculous, he'll hit that tug that's supposed to be piloting us into Barrow?
Aye, aye, sir. Mr. Phillips, Mr. Murray says that if you don't, if you want to stop engine!
Breathe in.
Breathe in.
Missed. I think I'll just lie down for a bit.
Lie down for a bit, it is, sir.
You silly lot of floating layabouts! Look what you've done! I demand a rebate!
Chief, that sounded remarkably like...
Sir, I'll be with you in an hour or two, sir, as soon as I've done Miss Smalls. I'll be right
back. Chief! What is your Uncle Ebenezer's tug doing here? You would by any chance have tipped him off that we'd need assistance to dock, I suppose?
Oh, me, sir? Oh, what a very idea, sir. I would.
Completely out of character, I'd say.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips, sir. Thank you.
It's just a pure blind coincidence that mightn't have happened to any...
Johnsy, you're late. I nearly run out of coal.
Chief, I think your pure blind coincidence just dropped you in the kitchen nuts.
Yes, I had noticed that. Wait till I get my hands on the old steamboat gentleman.
Yeah, quite.
Oi, how much longer are you lot going to hang about? You're late now, and if we don't get a move on, we'll miss the train.
Oh, lummy, Chief. Look, tell Nunky to take us in tow.
Oh, sir. With pleasure, sir.
And you might add that we'd be grateful if he'd take us into the right dock. I was just about to say that. Sorry, pardon.
All right, Nunky, you've clicked. Here's seven. Get a move on.
Henry Purvey.
Yes, madam.
Henry Purvey, just how much longer? We've got to stand on the end of this jetty waiting for your little friends in their boat.
No idea, my love. They should have been here ages ago.
I see. Well, I'm not standing here much longer, having a certain part of my anatomy walloped by bits of bunting.
Which part is it? Oh, yes, I see. I'll hold it up a bit, shall I?
Henry!
The bunting, my love. I meant the bunting.
Oh. No, that was just as well.
Yes.
Carry on. Good boy.
Certainly, my love.
Oh, Lord. I think those Bataniland persons are coming over again.
Well, I expect they're fed up with waiting for those fools on Cutbridge to turn up just as much as we are, my love.
So careful with that bunting, Henry. Keep it well above my hat or you'll have one of my little cherries off.
I'll watch it, my love.
A thousand excuse me to our fine and magnificent English Royal Navy clothes post captain, sir.
Not forgetting his milady wife with the abounding supply of little cherries.
To which I add greetings of an incredible nature to one and both from both and either of each of us. Furthermore, a resounding bung ho.
Bung ho.
And one more.
You think so?
I am convinced. Bung ho.
Quite, and bung-ho from us, I'm sure. What can I do for you, gentlemen?
Well, a modest request is forthcoming at any moment from my good and splendid old mate here.
Sub-Lieutenant General Samuel Pepys Washington Bath.
And yours truly, my excellent self, Lieutenant Managing Director Harold Gulfball. Both of the Bataniland regrettable navy.
Hoorah!
Hoorah!
And one more?
No, but some other time, by all means.
Henry, what on earth are those two chuntering on about?
I haven't the foggiest idea, my love. It's too early to tell.
Barging in most happily once again. Could the fine old Royal Navy clothes post captain, sir, be so kind as to give us some fascinating idea of the who knows whereabouts of his fine and magnificent frigate trout breed?
Such information would give us a flabbergasting clue as to when the Bataniland Home Rule Anniversary Day solemn celebration and fine old hijinks can start.
I'm afraid I really
can't... Oh, not to worry, for here comes the fine and magnificent frigate now.
What a truly handsome spectacle she makes. And what a lot of lovely smoke.
What? But that thing isn't Trotbridge, it's a tug.
Oh, in that case, what are paternal and splendid and chucked out old governor, plus his milady wife and several of your officers doing aboard her, sir?
What? But
yes, sir.
How on earth did they... Oh, good grief. They must have sunk Trotbridge. I knew they'd do it one day. I knew.
You with the cherries on your dishboard.
Now, look here. You can't talk to my wife like that. Then run, please,
no,
my love.
No.
Everybody down.
All ashore that is already ashore.
All right, number one. Where's Trotbridge? Who did you hit? And how deep down is she?
Oh, Trotbridge is all right, sir.
It was just that Nunky sort of took us into the wrong dock, you see.
Sort of accidentally on purpose, sir. You see, he's charged us another 10 bob each to bring us round to this one on his tug.
I might have known. Which dock are you in?
I don't think I noticed the number, sir. Did you notice, Mr. Phillips?
Chief.
Ask Mr. Phillips if he noticed the number of the dock, will you?
Stow me, I'll get a touch of the laryngitis if this goes on. Mr. Phillips, sir. Number one says, did you notice?
No, I didn't, no. And even if I had, I wouldn't have told him.
Mr. Phillips says no.
Yes, and... yes, all right, bruv. I heard what Archie said. We don't know the number, Captain Foley, but she's lying over in that direction.
Over there?
But surely that's...
Here, I say, you chaps, is it time for me speech yet?
Oh, good heavens, Sir Wallaby, I must apologize for not... I forgot that you were...
Oh, that's all right. You chaps ready for me speech?
No.
Splendid. But I said... Ladies and gentlemen, on this auspicious, and if I may speak freely, which takes me back to when I was... But who can deny this when they come face to face with all and sundry? No, my friends, it won't do. Speed is essential, I will admit, but it's your subscriptions to the regiment that'll keep a check and send it to me in a plain van marked improvement.
Here you are, Woolly Fooly, same again, Charles.
Oh, well said. And so, in congratulating this man on his fine innings, let us not forget the craftsman who made the whole project impossible. And it is with no small amount of pride that I rise.
Chip, what the blazes is that racket?
I don't know, sir. It seems to be coming from the dock where we left Cadbury.
Mr. Phillips, sir, you did remember to switch off, didn't you, sir?
Well, of course. Oh, well, that's a relief, because I thought perhaps Troutbridge might be going to have a nice tail over to the Isle of Man on a tod.
Oh, hardly, Chief. I mean, how could she leave that dock? I mean, all the water must have drained out of it by now. It was well down the last time I saw it.
What, you blithering idiots? What on earth dock have you left Troutbridge in this time?
Humble and completely uncalled for apologies, but perhaps I, Lieutenant Managing Director Harold Gulpole, can be of some assistance in this matter of great urgency.
I'm sorry, the direction
to which your spankingly turned out number one officer pointed earlier is indeed a tremendously efficient breaking up yard.
He's right, you know, sir. I remember seeing a notice. Iron and Steel Recovery Company. Battleships broken up, yachts yanked to bits, liners lugged apart.
What? Good grief, man. You realize what that racket is? That's Troutbridge being broken up.
Here. I do wish you chaps had shut up. I've lost me place. I'll have to start my speech all over again.
Quick, where's the phone? No, it'll take too long. Hey, stop that at once, do you hear? Put that plate back. Hands off, she's
advocating
property!
Now
leave that
gun
alone!
Excuse me, number one, sir.
What is it?
Well, I was just thinking, sir, as we no longer have a ship, I mean, you'll hardly be needing me for a bit, eh? So, about my extension of leave, sir.
No, Chief.
But, sir, the trial, sir. My dear old white-haired mother's rear end will be bouncing all over the county, and it's all your fault.
No, Chief.
I want to ask you, sir.
Well, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Lieutenant Bates was Michael Bates, Sir Willoughby Todd Hunter Brown was Daniel Evans, and Wren Cornwell was played by Judy Cornwell. The recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.
The Navy Lark was presented by the BBC.